Birth, Volume 3, The Gathering, Chapter 24. For the first time since the doors had been closed on the massive underground command center known as Site R, with the president and his working cabinet and their staff and families, a small group of military vehicles assembled to venture outside. A few trucks and armored personnel transport vehicles on rubber tires sat parked up ahead as the electric carts began arriving. It was still dark outside, but the sunrise would begin soon, so the team wanted to get moving quickly under 100% night vision operations. The vehicles had been in the motor pool for weeks, being refitted to run on vegetable oil, as the petroleum-based fuels no longer produced enough power. Staff fuel chemists, who perform routine fuel quality tests, reported that even though the density was within specs, the oxidation reaction had actually changed. The new Earth was shedding electrons into space, and they were being replaced with a heavier version called a lepton. Although the elements looked the same compared to the periodic chart, the reduction oxidation energy did not match the CRC handbook tables. Based on the rate of change, mathematicians estimated that within a few days, the old ways of converting matter into other forms of energy to do work, like heating or lighting, were going to drift into darkness. The wealth and influence surrounding the production and distribution of energy historically ruined men and governments around the world. General Morley had convinced Semyaza to tempt Kyle Kramer with a glimpse into the zero-point energy realm. It was felt that this peak and a new, clean, endless source of power would distract him from the mission at hand. It was a miscalculation. Since the data first appeared on his spectrometer, the download of information was constant and detailed. Many of the things he saw were finished formulas, but without the pathway of derivations, Kyle was plagued with gaps between what he saw and what he already had developed in the field of magnetic lenses to focus and align gaseous particles. The difference for him was the same as that between clay and glass. Clay was silica arranged in random fashion and fired to be hard and durable. Glass was silica that was aligned and purified so that light could pass through. It was his magnetic lens which allowed him to twist Boyle's law into forcing gaseous pressure to increase without changing its temperature. He called it a magnetic supercharger. He used a secret to power Dick Daring's dominance over the street racing world. Like perhaps the greatest natural mathematician, Srinivasa Ramanujan, Kyle had a feel for chemistry and physics. Srinivasa felt that equations were of no interest to him unless it revealed the thought of God. Even in the poverty of India, he mastered one of the most advanced books of the day on trigonometry by the age of 13, while discovering and making notes about sophisticated theorems on his own. Sadly, he reached international opportunities late in his short life. He died at age 32 of hepatic amoebiasis, which was a completely curable disease in the year of 1920. He chronicled notebooks that changed the world of mathematics forever. Sometimes, the world consumes its geniuses and their work, casting aside the soul who forms that intellect. This morning, the president's best bet for saving the world from an otherwise coming millennium of darkness was Kyle Kramer. With Donna at his side and Dick and Katie in the rear seat of the electric cart, they rolled in silence down the cavernous road toward entrance door C of the Site R complex under Raven Rock Mountain. The two small electric trucks behind them carried a dangerously scaled-up version of Kyle's magnetic lens. There was a heavy coil of wires and sensor cables, along with a small rack of servers to handle the possible flow of data from the proposed experiment. "Okay, here they come, team. Let's get that stuff moved over to the away team vehicles. Do exactly what Mr. Kramer tells you to do with the lens. If you feel like getting crushed by a 6-ton piece of steel, then don't pay any attention to me, said Smith in his field commander voice. Sir, yes, sir, came the response from the 10-man team. Dismissed. Take your positions. Let's go. Be sharp, said Smith. Good morning, Kyle, Donna. Good morning, Dick, Katie, said Smith, removing his glove to shake each of their hands. Good morning, Agent Smith, said Kyle. My men are standing by. Just tell them what to do, said Smith. No can do, Chief. Wait until Rhino gets here. He's the one who handles the lens, said Kyle. Roger that. Okay, listen up. Do not touch the lens until Rhino gets here. Stand by, said Smith. Sir, yes, sir, each of the men close to the first electric truck said. We don't want any accidents today. Get the cables and servers into the back of this vehicle, said Smith, patting the back door of the front Humvee. Hey, here comes Rhino, said Dick, pointing at the cart approaching quietly. Hey, bro, good to see you. Hey, Stretch, glad you could make it, said Dick, grabbing Rhino's right hand backward and accepting his enormous arm around his shoulder. Stretch, that's a good one, said Lisa, hugging Dick. Hey, Rhino, Smith is the mission commander. He needs you to show his men how to pick up the lens and put it into the vehicle, said Kyle, shaking his hand as he said it. Actually, I don't think that's going to work, bro. That's why we put it on this aluminum bed of this electric truck. We might get it in there, but we're going to need a forklift to get it out. Capiche? Asked Rhino. Team, attention. I need a solution fast. We are running out of time, said Smith as the men jumped into a line and dropped their hands to their sides. Permission to speak, sir, said one of the soldiers. Would a wooden trailer work, sir? Asked the soldier. Holy Beverly Hillbilly, Batman, said Donna. No, actually, that's a good idea. We can't tow the electric cart because the motor's fully engaged. No neutral. You have a wooden wagon? Asked Kyle. Actually, we do, sir. We use it to haul the bags of salt for the site's water softener. In the motor pool, sir, said the soldier. Hook it up and come back double time, soldier. Dismissed. Take with you whoever you need, said Smith. Three men followed the gesture of the senior soldier, and the Humvee engine barked to life. They backed up and turned the 6-man vehicle around and roared back toward the underground town a few miles down the cavernous service road. "Are those cables loaded yet?" yelled Smith. "Sir, yes, sir," came the response. "Let's get that canteen open, pronto. Form a line and let's get it done," said Smith. The lids swung open and the doors swung out of the canteen trailer attached to one of the Humvees. The stainless steel flatware and utensils hanging by hooks jingled in response to the swinging doors. The steam billowed up off the eggs, bacon, French toast, and hash brown potatoes in the self-serving line. The entire team was eating a tasty breakfast and sipping coffee within minutes. When you are done, the other side of the trailer will take care of your dishes and waste. You have 20 minutes to get it down your necks. 20 minutes, said Smith, walking up to one of the soldiers sitting on the truck tailgate. When this is secure, drop this trailer here, nice and level. And don't forget to turn off the gas, said Smith. Yes, sir, said the soldier between the swallows of French toast. Can we have seconds? Asked Rhino. The lids are still open, my friend. Don't make us late, smiled Smith at Rhino. You demand, Smith, said Rhino, moving quickly back to the buffet. Race day. Right, little brother? Said Dick as he mopped up the powdered eggs. Yeah, buddy. Showtime, said Kyle. Hey, these powdered eggs are pretty good, said Katie. That's good coming from a girl who pukes every morning, said Dick, hugging her shoulder. I always did like camp food, said Lisa. What kind of camp? Asked Donna. Cheerleading camp, said Lisa, blushing. See, the football star always gets the cheerleader, said Dick. Ah, that is so sweet, said Donna. It's not what people think. It's full on, full contact gymnastics now. Girls and guys get injuries, just like the players, said Lisa, standing up to take her dishes to the cleaning line. I know it hurts me to look at them sometimes, said Dick. What is that supposed to mean? Asked Katie. I mean, come on, getting thrown like 20 feet in the air with a smile on your face and trusting that someone is going to catch you, said Dick, twirling his hand in the air. I get that. Your first mistake is your last, said Kyle. Okay, be ready, be ready. The trailer is coming. Rhino, are you ready to go? Asked Smith. I will be by the time they get here, he said, standing up to join Lisa in the dishwashing line. You just scrape in here, dip into the soapy water, and scrub with this brush on a stick. Rinse hot here, rinse cold here. Then hang it up like this, said Lisa cheerily to Rhino. I want one of these, said Rhino, smiling back. Okay, let's go, buddy. It's showtime, said Kyle, right behind them. The Humvee chugged to a halt behind the line of vehicles with a wooden trailer made with an automobile rear axle and its leaf springs and shocks. Having never been exposed to sunlight, it still had the familiar green wood treatment from when it was built many years ago. That'll work, said Kyle. Okay, guys, remove all the metal from your belts and vests there. If you have keys or a gun, lose it, said Rhino, towering over them with his back to the trailer. How much does it weigh? Asked one of the soldiers. It's about 300 pounds. But that's not the important part. The magnets on this baby will mash you like a bug if you get between it and any metal object like a truck. So here's what we're going to do. Two here and two here. We walk it back off this aluminum bed, wide out there about 20 feet, and then right up to this wooden trailer. I need two guys up in this trailer to get it when they reach this point. Ready? Break, said Rhino, clapping his hands. Within a few minutes, they had the magnetic lens in the center of the wooden trailer and secured with a tight rope. The men who had gone to get the trailer ate while the process was completed and the canteen was detached and secured from the Humvee. The team climbed into various vehicles and Smith took command again. Okay, listen up. We are driving out this door and then up the fire road following my vehicle up front. Stay apart, about 50 feet in case we get stuck or have an encounter. Eyes open and on me, said Smith, drawing a circle above his head with his right hand as he climbed into the passenger seat of the lead vehicle and closed the door. When we clear the door, launch the drone, he told the soldier in the back seat. Yes, sir, said the soldier. The second vehicle held Dick and Katie in the second seat, with Kyle and Donna in the rear seat. The third vehicle that was towing the trailer held Rhino and Lisa. The center bench seat had been removed to accommodate Rhino's large frame. The fourth vehicle held seven more troops in full armor with weapons ready. What does he mean by encounter? Donna asked the driver of the vehicle. IED, ma'am, said the driver dispassionately. That ain't gonna happen, said Dick. What makes you so sure? Asked Kyle. Look at this road. It hasn't had a vehicle on it for 20 years. Smith knows what to look for, said Dick. Like what? Asked Kyle. Like anything new, said Dick, riding with his arm around Katie's shoulder. Hey, can I roll this window down if I have to? Asked Katie. I can unlock the windows, but they're bulletproof, ma'am, said the driver. Dude, unless you have room up there for some well-scrambled eggs, I suggest you unlock the window, said Dick, patting him on the shoulder. Roger that, said the driver, pressing the switch. This is a totally badass ride, I have to tell you, said Dick. The safest thing on wheels, said the driver. I can dig it, said Dick. The vehicles rolled quietly up the fire road in the pitch blackness of the moonless morning. Within half an hour they reached the summit, and the vehicles leveled out. The tall pines were thick, but left enough room for the small band to spread out on the floor of brown pine needles and open their doors. The diesel motor idled quietly and provided heat for the occupants inside. I think Katie and I will stay in here for now, little brother, said Dick. That's cool. I gotta go back and help Rhino, said Kyle, opening his door. Here, you're gonna need these. Just put it on under the ball cap and tell me what you think, said Smith, handing him a set of night vision goggles. Oh, baby, I can see everything so clearly. I don't even need my glasses, said Kyle. built-in corrective lenses. Just twist this eyepiece for each eye and it should give you 20/20, said Smith. Totally radical. These are mine, right? Asked Kyle, laughing quietly. Let's get your gizmo set up, said Smith, patting him on the back. It took about an hour, but the stand for the lens was set up and servers were connected with custom cables Kyle and Rhino had been building for weeks. The southern sky began to turn a light purple and Kyle walked up to Rhino. We need to turn the lens a little. The sun's going to come up over there, he said, whispering. Within a few steps, Rhino was next to Smith and leaned down to talk with him quietly. Can I get three guys to pick this stand up with me and move it a little? We want to point it that way, he said. Smith walked over to the small formation of men standing at the ready and spoke to two of them. They broke out of the formation while Smith directed a few more to the other locations in the woods to make sure the perimeter was secure. Okay, dudes, sirs, let's pick this up carefully and walk it counterclockwise to point in that direction, he said, pointing with his arm. The men each picked up a corner with Rhino on the fourth, and they rotated the contraption to the right position. Thanks, guys. Rhino got back into the Humvee to warm up, and so did Kyle. Smith and his team stood motionless about 60 yards out from the circle of vehicles. Okay, we just sit back and watch the instruments, said Kyle. I've been thinking, said Dick. We're in trouble now, said Katie, adjusting in the wide seat to make room for her moving baby. Lay it on me, bro, said Kyle. Look, we know your lens works on the nitrous lines for the grape ape, right? Asked Dick. Like a stabbed rat, said Kyle. And we know that the magnetized nitrous just about put us off planet in a private jet, he said with a question in his eye. And we live to tell about it, said Kyle, leaning forward to the back of the bench seat in front of him. So, do that brain thing you do and figure out how to make your scaled-up lens make the connection we saw in Tennessee, said Dick. I've been busting my melon trying to do just that. The thing is that I don't know how we saw what we saw in Tennessee. It wasn't coming from the reactors in Irwin, I know that. The signature was all wrong. It wasn't anywhere close to... paused Kyle for a moment. What, baby? Asked Donna, holding on to both of his hands to warm them up. The peaks. They were paired. They weren't harmonics of anything radioactive. I never thought about this until just this second, said Kyle, taking his glasses off. Now you can see it. Tell me what you see, bro, said Dick. The peak is actually a frequency when it is converted in the sodium iodide crystal. One peak would make sense, you know, like cesium or thorium, one peak. But this was two peaks, like really close to one another and equal in value. I mean, the FWHH looked the same, said Kyle. The who? Asked Katie. It means full width, half height. It's a way of placing a value on the area under the curve of the peak on a graph, said Donna. Thank you, Miss Physics, said Katie, smiling at Donna. Hey, I speak no nuke with authority, said Donna. Right on, sister, said Dick, making a fist. Anyway, I think it's a Doppler shift, said Kyle. You mean like a star moving away from us? Asked Katie. That's just it. I think it is a single source, because the peak is tight and well-defined. But what I see now is that the source is in two places, said Kyle. I've been trying to do that my whole life. How can something be in two places at the same time? Asked Dick. It's a wormhole, said Kyle. You mean like a giant black hole in space? I thought nothing escaped those things, said Donna. That's a black hole. I think a wormhole is made like that, said Kyle, pointing out the window at his magnetic lens sitting on the stand now under a graying sky. With magnets? Asked Dick. No, I think the exotic material, let's just call it neutron star material is actually a Heisenberg uncertainty. I mean, the exact location and speed cannot be determined, and when you pack that much mass in one small place, it has to spin at its maximum speed. You know, like an ice skater when she draws her arms in the center of all that. It is a hoop of dense matter. This forms a wormhole in space, said Kyle, putting his glasses back on. That's my genius little brother, said Dick. So that's why there's two peaks? Asked Donna. Well, yes, but this is where it really gets spooky, said Kyle. Tell me more, said Donna. If I took a billiard ball and threw it to you on the other side of the wormhole, and then you threw it back to me, the spooky thing is that the ball you throw back to me will arrive before I threw it from my side, said Kyle. That makes no sense, said Katie. Yeah, well, it has to do with time. But the point is that the same ball leaves two time signatures, said Kyle. That's a rabbit hole, said Dick. Holy Mad Hatter, Batman, said Donna. Yeah, well, the point is that the lens out there doesn't need the sun at all. It needs to be pointed at the wormhole, said Kyle. And that would be where? Asked Katie. North, said Kyle, pointing at a right angle from the sun rising low in the western sky. Why north? Asked Dick. Because when we were parked at the gas station near the Irwin Nuclear Services Facility, the vehicle was facing north. The little version of this lens was facing north, said Kyle. Let's go, said Dick, opening the door. I'm all over this, said Kyle, opening his door. Oh, but Jesus, it's cold up here. Hey, Smith, shouted Dick in a voice practiced for cutting through the din of racing engines. Agent Smith sprinted across the pine needles up to where Kyle and Dick were standing. Report. I mean, what's on your mind? Asked Smith. New plan. Get your guys to work with Rhino and let's turn the gizmo to point to north, said Dick. I have to tune this thing. I mean, I will watch the instruments and you guys can move it to the position with the best response, said Kyle. Rhino, huddle up, shouted Smith. Rhino's door opened and his legs hit the ground running. Smith motioned for the three soldiers that helped the last time to come with him. I'm here, coach. What's the play? Asked Rhino. Okay, here's the deal. I'm going to sit behind the instruments in that truck and Dick is going to direct you. We want you to pick up the lens and rotate it to point north, not toward the sunrise, said Kyle. The old north or the new north? Which way is the new north anyway? Asked Rhino. Well, I'm not sure yet, but that's why Dick will tell you how far to go. It's going to be close to that way, said Kyle, pointing toward a pair of tall pines about 50 feet away. Rhino and the three soldiers took up their positions around the four corners of the stand. Let us know when you're ready, said Rhino. I'm ready, said Kyle, focused on the screen of his laptop. Dick stood close to Kyle and faced the men around the stand. He blew on his hands and put them into his pockets. Green lights, little brother, he said into the open truck window as he pointed his finger at the team where they were positioned around the stand. The men lifted together and began turning the stand together while trying to keep it level. Their feet shuffled in the pine needles quietly as they looked across at one another. You guys feel that? Asked Rhino. You mean a fuzzy kind of static feeling in the air? Then yes, sir, I feel it, said one of the soldiers. Let's keep going. We're almost there, said Rhino. Shut the front door, said Kyle. What was that, buddy? Asked Dick. Twin Peaks. I got Twin Peaks, said Kyle. Tell me what to say, said Dick. Keep going. They're coming up. I'm changing range. 10, 100, 1,000. Okay, stop, said Kyle. Hold up, shouted Dick. The team stopped moving and the stands swayed a little. Hurry up, guys. This thing is heavy and we're getting a whole lot of static building up, boomed Rhino. Okay, back the other way just a little bit and set it down. And tell them to get out of there, said Kyle. Back around a couple of inches and put it down, then move over there, yelled Dick. The team set the sand down and quickly backed away. Rhino headed back for the truck where Lisa waited with her face pressed up against the glass, watching. The soldiers assumed a parade rest position with Smith by the truck, with the trailer attached to it. Kyle made notes in his book and entered numbers into the laptop like he was writing a novel. Bright shards of sunlight sliced through the crisp morning air, crossing the valley, leading all the way back to Camp David, and began making their way quickly up the mountainside. "I think I have a solution here," said Kyle out loud. "I know that look. What you got there, buddy?" asked Dick, leaning into the warm door windowsill. "Let there be light," said Kyle quietly. "Yeah, but is it enough to light the end of Rocky Patel?" asked Dick. "It is if you roll it as big as the Rose Bowl," said Kyle, smiling. "We're going to be rich," said Dick, clapping his hands together like a cheerleader. "I know you're kidding. Seriously, by my calculations, we're tapping into a square meter footprint of this stream of energy coming out of someplace east of the Polaris," said Kyle. "You mean eastward in Eden?" said Dick, like he was joking. "I mean there's a source for this energy, and we appear to be heading right for it," said Kyle. "So how much money are we going to make?" asked Dick. "Yeah, nothing. It's free to everyone. I am receiving about 750 watts for this square meter. That's about 5 or 6 times what we see for solar energy. We're so done, we're golden, brother," said Kyle, opening the truck door and embracing Dick. Within what seemed like only a second, Smith, the men, and the rest of the team were surrounding them and all talking at once. Kyle showed them the peaks and told them he believed there might be enough energy to power the whole world if enough of these magnetic lenses could be made. "You have friends in high places, my man," said Rhino. "Let's secure this pony show." "Everything gone in 5 minutes," said Smith, smiling. Dick hugged Katie and kissed her. "You up for a movie tonight?" asked Dick against her cold ear. "Is there popcorn with this movie?" asked Katie. "Yes, ma'am, there is," said Dick playfully. "I love you, Kyle Kramer," said Donna, kissing him in public for the first time. "You know what this means? We can live anywhere. No more power grid or power brokers," said Kyle, smiling at her. "Down with the establishment," laughed Donna. Smith grabbed his right ear and walked away from the small celebration. "Roger that," he said, as he gave the battle signals for his men to form up. "What's going on?" asked Katie. "Okay, team, listen up. We have reason to believe that at least 3 very large ships have left the other Earth and are headed toward the moon. We believe they will use the moon's gravity to accelerate toward this planet. Estimated time of arrival is tomorrow morning." "Let's get below," said Smith. "Will we be safe below?" asked Katie. "I will be able to tell you all more, and I promise I will, when I meet with the president. One thing is for sure. If we're out here, there are no guarantees at all. Let me do my job, because I promise you, I have no intention of being in the wrong place either," said Smith. "Well, this solar experience is very nice, and I would love to do some hammock time with Katie up here in the trees, but I vote that we join the rest of the mushrooms," said Dick. Kyle saved his data and shut off the laptop. He gathered his notebook and laptop together and put them under his right arm and slid out of the truck, put his left arm around Donna and held her close. "Now we know the planet's going to live. We're going to live as well. I don't know how I know this, but I do. So let's go," said Kyle.